10. 45 minutes later, after Sid and Gilbert ate their breakfasts, Gilbert cleaned up and Sid tapped some more at his tiny laptop. It was time for the lessons to begin. The two magicians stood on the patio in front of the house, looking crisp and clean in their impeccable matching tuxedos with top hats, silk capes, and white gloves, grasping their ebony walking sticks. Opposite them, Maddie and Brewster stood with their backs to the dirigible's envelope and the city of London beneath and beyond it. Both had on jeans and t-shirts, in addition to their own top hats, silk capes, white gloves, and canes. Gilbert asked, "How do you feel?" Maddie said, "Like the Monopoly guy?" "Splendid," Sid said. "You'll be happy to know that beyond making one feel stylish, dignified, and commanding..."
"Like the Monopoly guy?" Gilbert interrupted.
"His name was Rich Uncle Pennybags, a great man to be sure. Aside from that, which would be quite enough, every item we've given you serves a specific purpose. For example, take your hat." Sid took off his top hat and held it out in front of him. Brewster and Maddie watched with undivided attention. Sid stared at them for a moment, then said,
"I mean literally, take your hat."
The twins grimaced in embarrassment as they removed their hats. Sid said,
"If a normal person got hold of your hat, it would do them no good, unless what they wanted was a perfectly ordinary hat. The same goes for the gloves. But if you put on the gloves and reach into the hat..."
Sid looked into his hat, reached in with his free, gloved hand, then looked at Maddie and Brewster, a clear signal that they should do the same. As they did, they saw glowing green words appear deep within the recesses of their hats. The words formed a list that included food, props, weapons, household, and other. As they moved their fingers up and down through the words, the ones they touched got larger while the others receded. Moving their fingers to the right caused the list to disappear and the next sublist of items to render. From the outside, these movements looked a great deal like a theatrical attempt to rummage around inside the hats. Gilbert said,
"Anything you put into the hat will disappear, either transported to a safe place, the basement of our theater specifically, or just deleted if it's something the hat created in the first place. All the things you're seeing listed in the hats right now are things you can make at any time. As many as you want, free of charge. Give her a go."
Brewster pulled a chocolate chip cookie out of his hat, which he stared at in awe for a couple of seconds, then ate. Maddie pulled out a rabbit. Sid and Gilbert both held their hands out in front of them as if imploring her to stop.
"Whoa, okay, careful there, Maddie," Gilbert said. "Of all the things to pick, she goes right for the rabbit."
Maddie looked at the obviously fake rabbit in her hand, hanging by the scruff of its neck, its legs kicking in a repeating pattern.
"It seemed like the obvious thing to pull out of a hat."
"That's true," Sid said.
"It is, and was, the obvious thing. But did you not notice that it was listed under weapons? Don't worry, and don't panic. You're not in any trouble, Maddie. You haven't done anything wrong. Just please put the rabbit back in the hat now."
Maddie eyed the magician suspiciously, but did as she was told, lowering the rabbit back into the hat, then pulling her empty, gloved hand back out.
"Okay. I don't understand why you're both freaking out. It was just a rabbit."
Sid said,
"It looked like just a rabbit because we created it to. As long as you held on to it, the little beast was perfectly harmless. But if you had let go, something we like to call chaos would, in short order, have ensued. That rabbit is a monster. As fast as it is vicious."
Gilbert held his right hand up in front of his mouth with his palm facing forward and his fingers curled into gnarled fangs.
"With nasty, big, pointy teeth."
The twins said nothing.
Gilbert said, "Sid, when this thing is over, we've got to talk to Martin and Gwen about showing these two some Monty Python."
"Agreed. In the meantime, let's move on to the canes. As you've seen this morning, the cane, or wand, if you like, can be used as a selection device. I used mine to select the two of you for inclusion in our programming environment. They can also be used to target objects or people for various spells. Lastly, these particular canes have been modified to serve other uses. These features are technologically feasible for a cane in the current time frame, but without magic, they could never coexist in one cane, Swiss Army style, as they do here. Look at your cane's handle. You should see some markings where the handle meets the shaft. Brewster and Maddie both examined their canes. On the ivory handles, they saw the numbers 1, 2, and 3 engraved around the handle's base. A single line was carved into the polished black shafts, directly under the number 1. Currently, Sid continued, your wands are in walking stick mode. You can use them for creating magic, or as a simple cane.
Or you could bean a guy over the head with it, Gilbert said.
Yes, as goes without saying. Now, if you were to twist the handle so that the line on the shaft aligns with the number 2, then pull the handle and shaft apart.
Sid pulled on the handle of his cane. The two pieces came apart readily, making a clear ringing sound of metal sliding against metal and exposing a silver blade 2 feet long.
Sid said, that's right. A sword cane, an elegant weapon for a more civilized age. Now you try.
Sid and Gilbert gave them a moment to enjoy swishing the blades around in the air while shouting things like En garde and touché.
Okay, Gilbert said. Settle down. There'll be plenty of time for all that later. Please resheath your swords.
The twins reluctantly did as he said. Gilbert held up his cane, gripping the handle with one hand and using the second to lightly grasp the shaft.
If you go ahead and turn the handle to the third position, this happens.
Gilbert rotated the body of the cane until the handle clicked into place. The junction between the ivory handle and the rest of the cane gave way. The shaft fell 4 inches before stopping, as a short section of chrome chain connecting it to the handle pulled tight. The bulk of the cane dangled for a moment, then dropped and separated into 2 more sections, connected by chrome chain and ending in a few last chrome links and a ring extended from the very end. Maddie asked,
what's that? Some kind of weird nunchucks?
Not quite.
Gilbert grasped the steel ring at the base of the cane and threaded it over the top of the handle. The ring settled into place at the first chain segment, forming the segments of intact cane into a triangle with a base much longer than its sides. He allowed the triangle to hang free for a moment. Then Sid removed his cape and tuxedo jacket in one quick flourish and carefully hung them on the triangle. Maddie and Brewster both groaned. Then Maddie shouted,
boo! Did you just boo us?
Sid asked.
That privilege is reserved for paying audience members, not guests in our home. Besides, that coat hanger you so cavalierly dismiss is a reference to 2 separate Spielberg movies, if you know your film history sufficiently to comprehend it. Your father was quite impressed when we showed it to him.
Maddie asked,
can the cane do anything else?
Anything else? Gilbert asked. You mean aside from the 2 useful and stylish functions we've managed to make coexist in what by all rights should be a simple piece of wood? No, I'm afraid that's all it does. It's not the only item in your ensemble that serves multiple functions, but I hesitate to show it to you now for fear of boring you.
Maddie said,
I'm sorry. The sword cane is really cool, but after that, the coat hanger was a bit of a letdown.
Brewster asked,
did you ever think about making the cane turn into a gun?
Sid blinked at him.
A gun? A gun? Gilbert, I think I must have misheard him. Did he just suggest that we make the cane turn into a gun?
Yes, Gilbert said. He did. Probably in an attempt to remind us that he's an American.
Sid shook his head.
His nationality is a likely explanation, but it's not a valid excuse. Brewster, my friend, might I inquire what people who can do magic would need with a gun? We can alter the very fabric of reality, hem time if it's too long, let space out a few inches if the midsection's too tight, and so forth. We have the power to warp an enemy's perceptions and render them utterly helpless. To finish them off by shooting them would be gauche.
Gilbert said,
Snape didn't kill Dumbledore with an Uzi. Gandalf didn't shoot Durin's Bane with a squirrel rifle. When Houdini escaped from a sealed box, he didn't blast his way out with a shotgun.
No, Sid said, they did not. And besides, if for some inexplicable reason I were inclined to bust, as they say, a cap, as bullets are sometimes called, into someone's ass, as custom dictates, I would not use something as crude as a firearm to do so. I have the option to make said cap materialize magically in the target ass without an entry or exit wound, creating debilitating pain, the desired deterrent effect, and a puzzle that would haunt the target and his primary care provider for the rest of their days.
Okay!
Brewster nearly shouted.
I get it! Sorry!
Gilbert put a hand on Sid's shoulder and looked at Brewster.
It's all right. No harm done. It's just, we worked hard on all of this stuff. We're proud of it, and you two don't seem all that impressed.
Maddie said, But we are. We're amazed at the dirigible, and we love the sword canes. The hats, capes, and gloves aren't really our style, but we get why we need them. It's just the coat hanger. Also, we grew up with Dad. References to movies that came out before we were born aren't new or exciting to us.
Sid said,
Yes, I admit that makes sense. Sorry, I got carried away there.
I'm sorry too, Brewster said. So, what do you want to show us next?
Gilbert looked at Sid expectantly. Sid said,
I don't know. Maybe we should just leave it.
No,
Maddie said.
Please, show us?
Yeah,
Brewster said.
We want to see it.
Gilbert smiled at Sid.
You know you're dying to.
Okay, but I warn you, this next one's a bit whimsical.
More whimsical than the coat hanger sword cane? Maddie asked.
What is it? A rubber duck that plays circus music?
Look, do you want to see this or not?
The twins nodded, as did Gilbert. Sid reached up and grasped the sides of his top hat's brim with both hands. The top of the hat hinged open like the top of a soup can that still has one edge attached. A bent tube, like a very large articulated plastic straw with a glass lens set into the open end, raised smoothly from the hat. A flap swung down from the underside of the hat's brim directly in front of Sid's right eye, while folds of fabric on each side swung into place, completely blocking the eye from view. Sid bent his neck so that the entire construction tilted forward and the lens pointed at the twins. As they looked up at it, they could see a tiny image of Sid's eye looking down at them, occasionally blinking. The twins blinked back. Sid said,
It's a periscope.
Isn't it? I know the American educational system isn't the best, but do you not know a periscope when you see one?
Maddie said,
Obviously, we know it's a periscope. Sorry we didn't say anything, I guess. I'm just trying to figure out why a magic user needs a periscope.
Brewster said,
Yeah, and even if we hadn't recognized what it was, there's no need to drag our educational system into it.
Gilbert laughed.
First rule of getting along with Americans, mate. Don't say anything bad about America. Maybe we should stop showing them the equipment for a bit and let them practice with it for a while.
Maddie raised her hand. Gilbert said,
Yes, Maddie?
Does your monocle do anything cool?
Yes,
Sid said.
It corrects for nearsightedness in one eye